Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee organized a criminal justice town hall forum at Pleasant Hill Missionary Baptist Church in Houston's historic Fifth Ward last week. Her office broadcast the event live on her Facebook page, where it has been seen more than 3,000 times. The gathering was a who's who of local leaders who are working to reform the criminal justice system and how it's implemented in Harris County. Speaking during the event were local leaders, including representatives from the Houston Police Department, Harris County District Attorney Kim Ogg, federal and local judges, and other politicians and leaders. Each of these leaders addressed the full House crowd, which included several groups of local school children, and they explained how they're working to improve the criminal justice system, particularly its treatment of people of color. Black males are sentenced at a 20% higher rate than white males, according to U.S. District Judge Vanessa Gilmore, quoting a recent study published by the U.S. Sentencing Commission. Judge Gilmore, who presides over federal cases in the Southern District of Texas, said she was asked to present the study to other federal judges, who asked her what they should do to help fix the problem.
And they said, what can we do? What should I be doing? I mean, the simple answer is stop being racist, but you can't say that to somebody. And so the answer is try to figure out what you can do to address and look at these kinds of disparities.
Harris County District Attorney Kim Ogg, a Democrat, said she is fighting for a fairer system and a safer city.
And the reason that people are losing trust is because what they see. So it's not going to be enough for us to simply get elected and say, trust me, we'll run a fair system. We have to show through our actions as leaders that we can make trustworthy decisions, that disparity and discrimination must be ferreted out in every corner.
Harris County Criminal Court 16 Judge Daryl Jordan is on the forefront of the fight against disparity. Judge Jordan has been on the bench for a little more than a year now, and he explained how he is doing things a little bit differently.
You don't end a person's life for smoking a joint. You don't end a person's life for going into Walmart and stealing some Similac. There are people who have been in office for 20 plus years, 5 years, 10 years, who know that they are operating a system that penalizes blacks and browns worse than everybody else.
Houston Police Department Executive Assistant Chief Troy Finner also addressed the crowded church. Finner, who grew up in the Fifth Ward, says reforming the criminal justice system is necessary to gain the trust of the community.
But if we don't have true reform and our community don't see it as being fair, we won't have that support. We won't have the resources to keep locking people up. We don't have the time to deal with the low-level, nonviolent crimes. Divert them somewhere. Final thing I want to say, that crime touches us all. Just Saturday morning, I was in church at a funeral. I funeralized my nephew, the second one in 6 years, violent crime. Yet I sit at the top of the police department in a number 2 spot. It affects us all.
Harris County Public Defender's Office Trial Chief Eric J. Davis has been defending clients in the Harris County system for more than 20 years. He said he knows why Harris County's criminal justice system is changing.
But for years, Harris County has been bent on the systematic disenfranchisement of people of color.
Yes.
Most of the people of color that you will see in Harris County aren't offered probation. Most are offered time of incarceration. Now things are changing. They're changing. I'm sitting next to Kim O. Things are changing in Harris County. This might sound terrible, but the only reason it's been changed is that we've elected people of color. And we've elected people who are sympathetic to what's going on.
And then Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee introduced the event's special guest, Georgia Congressman and long-serving civil rights advocate, John Lewis.
I could introduce him as the ranking member on the Social Security Ways and Means Committee, a leader in financial issues on Social Security. A man who has received a profile of courage and awards around the world, but he's a little boy from Alabama who loved Martin Luther King. And he's come here today because we view him as a moral conscience, not only of this Congress, but he's a moral conscience of this nation as we debate in Congress, and I call him my friend. Would you honor the Honorable John Lewis from Georgia, 5th District, as he comes.
When I was very young, I would see those signs that said, white men, white women, colored women, white waiting, color waiting. Now, ask my mother, my father, my grandparents, my great-grandparents, why? They would say, that's the way it is. Don't get in the way. Don't get in trouble. But one day, I heard of Rosa Parks. And I met Rosa Parks in 1957 when I was 17. Heard of Dr. King in 1955 when I was 15. I met Dr. King in 1958. And I got in trouble. I got in good trouble, necessary trouble. Yeah. We need criminal justice reform now more than ever before. And sometimes we have to get in what I call good trouble, necessary trouble. When you see something that is not right, not fair, not just, you have to do something, you have to say something. Yeah. Sheila would tell you that we want to do something about gun violence.
Yes.
We couldn't get the Speaker of the House to bring up a bill. You know what we did? We had a sit-in on the House floor. The last time I got arrested, we were trying to get the Speaker, the former Speaker, to bring up a bill that the Senate passed. But the Speaker of the House wouldn't bring it up with immigration reform. I got arrested. During the 60s, I was arrested 40 times. And since I've been in Congress 5 more times, and I'm probably going to get arrested again for something. Now, I've been deeply moved, inspired. I've done everything but cry up here today. Listen to these brothers and sisters telling their story. Look, we cannot give up on anyone. We all are human. It doesn't matter whether we're black or white, Latino, Asian American, or Native American. We are one people. We are one family. We live in the same house, not just American house, but the world house. Amy Fuller Randolph said on one occasion, this man was born in Jacksonville, Florida, moved to New York City, became a champion of civil rights, labor rights, and human rights. When we were planning a march on Washington in 1963, he would say over and over again, maybe some of our brothers and sisters came over here in different ships, but we're all in the same boat now. We're all in the same boat. So we must look out for each other and care for each other and never, ever give up. Never become bitter. Never get lost in a sea of despair. Keep your faith. Keep picking them up and putting them down. Almost died on that bridge in Selma. Was beaten and left bloody. Had a concussion. But somehow, in some way, a few people picked me up, took me back to a little church, and from that little church, went to a little hospital where a group of nuns took care of us. Still here. Thank God I'm still here. And the brothers and sisters that told their stories, they're still here.
Yes.
I tell you, I have faith. I believe in the future. I believe in the goodness of humankind. Believe in the goodness of God Almighty.
Yes.
Sometimes you're down, but you get lifted up. Hang in there. Keep the faith. As Dr. King would say, never hate. But hate is too heavy a burden to bear. We're going back to Washington next week. Sheila, we're going to be there for a few days. We don't know what is going to happen. But I tell you, Washington is not going to be the same.
Yes.
America is not going to be the same. Look all of the women that have been marching.
Yes.
I was supposed to have been in a major city speaking women in Atlanta, Las Vegas, in LA. Last year, the women in Georgia asked me to lead the march for them. More than 63,000 met and marched in Atlanta. Hundreds and thousands went off to Washington. But I truly believe that this year would be the year of the woman. Look, all of us got to get registered and vote like you never, ever voted before. The vote is precious. It's almost sacred. It is the most powerful, nonviolent instrument or tool that we have in a democratic society.
Yes, sir.
And we must use it. Why did people try to keep us from having it? There must be some power there. So we got to get everybody.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter if we're black or white, young or old. Just get up and vote like we never voted before. And we can change things. Three young men that I knew during the height of the civil rights movement. Andy Goodman, Mika Schirmer,
yes, sir,
from New York City, and James Chaney from the state of Mississippi. Yes, went out on a summer night of June 21st, 1964 to investigate the burning of an African-American church to be used for voter registration workshop. These three young men were detained by the sheriff. Taken into the jail. Taken out. Turned over to the Klan. But they were beaten, shot, and killed. These three young men didn't die in Vietnam or the Middle East. In Africa, Eastern Europe. They died right here in our own country. Trying to help others become registered voters. We got to do it. We must do it. A generation yet unborn. So go out there and do your part. Play a role. Play it well. We can do it. Thank you very much.